This gospel reminded me of something that happened to me a number of years ago. Jesus is asked this question, how many are saved, you know? And a couple weeks ago, we had Christ knocking on the door, but we had to open the door to let him in. Now we find we're knocking and he won't open the door. This is a very interesting change in perspective. When I was working at the airline, they moved our office to Tucson, Arizona, and I worked in a wonderful work group the last couple years who are, it was a very senior group. It was hard to get into. I had a lousy shift because I was one of the junior members at 10 years of seniority. And so one individual there went off to Tucson and then retired 6 months later. I was very, very happy to have been moved there. And I went into the seminary 19 years ago. So this gentleman, I kind of kept in touch along with a number of other people that worked there. And so he came to my ordination, and he was a Jewish man, taught me a lot about Judaism. And so one time I was in Arizona visiting my aunt, who lived in Sedona at that time. And on a kind of spur of the moment, I drove down to Tucson to visit a couple of friends. Forgot to call this man in advance, but I thought, I'll give him a call. He had gotten a job at the most exclusive country club in Tucson. I forget the name of this place. I don't know what he does there or did there. It's a retirement job. So I called him on the phone, and I had his work number, and I said, gosh, I'm in town. I'd love to stop by and see you for a little bit, maybe have lunch or something. And he had a kind of a Boston accent, and he said to me, this is what he said on the phone to me. He said, you can't get in. I said, I just want to stop by and say hello. I know you're working today. You can't get in. You can't get in. And I said, we worked together for 4 years. You were at my ordination. You can't get in. I was the wrong kind of person, apparently, to get in. I don't know what kind of person they were looking for, but I wasn't it. And so, the heck with them, you know. I did not get to see him. But it reminds me, you know, of Jesus in this gospel. These people, they listened to him teach. They ate with him. And at the last day, they're gonna try and rely on that to get in. He's going to say, you can't come in. You can't come in. Maybe not quite like that. Why can't they come in? They ate with him. They were taught by him. Somebody at the Bible study pointed out, gosh, that sounds an awful lot like the Mass, doesn't it? He taught in our streets. We ate and drank in his company. What was missing? They didn't have a wedding garment on. They didn't answer the invitation that God gave them, which is to live the life and actually have faith. And so our Lord is where is he going in this gospel? He's going to Jerusalem. What's he going to do in Jerusalem? He's going to die. And so he's only got a limited time. And from now till the beginning of Advent, a couple of months, the teachings are going to be, what do we need to hear? What the Lord refuses to do is to answer curiosity questions. So this man comes up to him. He's been listening to Jesus teach. And he says, gosh, Lord, are there only a few that are going to be saved? He heard the gospel we heard a week or two ago where our Lord said, how hard it is, my children, for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. For example, for a Jew, they thought at that time, the richer you are, the more blessed you are, the more God loves you, the more in that you are. Jesus turned it over and said, no, you got it all wrong. Blessed are the poor. So people hear these things, and they thought, gosh, this is tougher than we thought. So this is where this question is coming from. I, too, have many tough questions to ask Jesus. How does Jesus answer that question? When you have a question that is inappropriate with God, this is the way he answers it. You ask the question, and he goes like this, and sidesteps the question, and redirects it to what they should have asked. And this is what he will do in your and our lives as well. What was the appropriate question here? Not how many will be saved, but am I saved? Am I going to heaven? What must I do? Never mind them. What about me? Have I been listening? He's not going to ask us about everyone else. He's going to ask me about me. So our Lord, when we look at the questions Jesus answers, we find they fall into two main categories. How do I treat other people? How do I love God? My faith, and do I put it into practice? He always steers it back in that direction. We want to have answers to all these questions. How many angels are in heaven? You know, we live in such a materialistic age. There are all kinds of people who think there's no world except the material world we live in right now. Wait till the Pope goes to England next month. I'm going to have a field day with homilies from that. All the atheists are out there ready to arrest him, you know, for crimes against humanity. Can you believe this? You know, they have all this. It's going to be a wonderful trip, but there's all these irreligious people, of which England seems to have more than any other Western country in the world, for whatever reason, I do not know. And so what is our Lord responding with in the modern era? With countless stories of near-death experiences. I just finished reading this great book by a Dr. Long, who wrote a secular, I don't believe he's even a Christian, but it was not a religious book at all. It was from a scientific point of view. And as a scientist, he concluded that there is life after death. Gosh, that's not a surprise to me. But what in reading the book, I'm thinking, the Lord is almost opening the door and showing us that this world is just the beginning. You think it might matter how we live? You think we might be prepared for something? And the answer is yes. He doesn't want to satisfy our curiosity. You know, just like these stories, you can only go so far, and then we have to come back or go on. Only in the next world. I have many questions to ask, you know. Why did my child die? Why is there suffering in the world? What about the tension in the Middle East? Why am I unemployed? Why did I get sick? Jesus does give us an answer, but it's always the cross. I suffered too, so it must be important. I'll tell you the rest later. You got to trust me on this, guys. This is Jesus talking. You got to trust me. I'm not going to answer it all now. That's part of the test. Sometimes he does answer it. I had a kind of a tough week. I wasn't sure I'd mention this story again, but I will anyway. You know, I finally got my computers fixed. It took about 2 months, and I'm not happy about it, but I've been in the school of patience, you know, and this week was a real tough week in a lot of ways. I'm on this sinus medication. I've had this terrible hay fever all week. Been keeping me up at night, this sinus medicine, I found out. In the midst of all that, and I'm telling you, I had nothing to do with this, but I had guests in the house and people working in the house. And come to find out, I had not one, but two toilets overflow this week on the same day. You got an appointment with somebody, and all I can tell you is it was a challenge cleaning it up. And I've already had words with the Lord about the computer. I says, don't you know I have a lot to do? Who sinned, me or my father? You know, that kind of thing. And, the Lord, what answer did I get from Jesus on this question? But he did give me an answer. He said, I'm preparing you for the wedding. Didn't you notice there was a man who tried to get in without the right garment on? What do you think I'm trying to do in your life? Why do you think I give you obstacles to overcome? You're in a training course. I'm building your muscles. You can't grow without trials. I don't get to choose them. Would anybody choose to have to clean up two toilets in 1 week? And that's a ridiculous thing. Some of you have had to deal with terrible, terrible crises in your life. You didn't choose that either. But God is preparing us for the wedding in the kingdom of heaven. Can we argue with him? Didn't he say God is treating us in the second reading? God is treating you like his children. Of course you're going to have to go through trials. How else are we going to grow? The truth is, you and I are also on a journey to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the kingdom of heaven. Our Lord wants us to come in. The problem is, this invitation does not look urgent or even good to us sometimes. We want to say yes to God in the wonderful things that happen. I had some people from Tillamook come up on Friday. The circumstances were not good. My former secretary's husband had died. We had a mass for him. Went out to eat. I thought, this is like the kingdom of heaven, being with old friends. And then I had my other problems, as I just said. And if you'd like more details, I will give them to you after mass. Got the parish auction dinner tonight that we auctioned off. I'm going to continue this discussion there. I'm sure they'll appreciate it. But in the midst of all of that, our Lord invites us to share his banquet. The Eucharist, the one in heaven, which we're tied together, but also the banquet that he gives us each day of our lives. A constant invitation. Remember last week we said he calls at the 9 o'clock hour, the noon hour, the 3 o'clock hour, the 5 o'clock hour. Always with an invitation to the wedding. Allow the Lord to prepare you for the world to come. Allow him to challenge you. Take the narrow road. When you don't make it, say you're sorry. If you need to, go to confession. But allow God to purify you and challenge you. This is what he wants to do. And that's how he answers these questions that are not answerable in this world. I have a plan. I know what I'm doing. I have a plan for you in your life. I know where you're going. I want you to come with me. I'm going to Jerusalem, but do not be afraid. You and I will go together, and together we will be victorious.